Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Let it flow! Let your stuff go! Slow and low, that is the tempo!
For the first time in 54 years, the Al-Assad family is no longer ruling Syria. Rebels who'd been fighting government forces for 13 years swept through Syria in 2 weeks, capturing Damascus, taking the Syrian people and the world by surprise.
All right, raise your hand if you saw this coming, if you had this on your December 2024 bingo card. The answer is nobody. Nobody saw this coming.
Dictator Bashar al-Assad appears to have fled the country, and we are reminded this morning of the horrors from his reign of terror. His brutal suppression of anti-regime protests in 2011 sparked the world's largest refugee crisis. Since then, the mass atrocities became too numerous to detail, the death toll impossible to tally, including due to the regime's use of chemical weapons against civilians. Assad dared to test whether America and the world would stop him, something then President Obama chose not to do militarily, even after he crossed that so-called red line.
You know, I was really hoping, like, they had this one moment where they could have played the archive clip from Obama, because kudos, that's all correct. Everything she said is correct. Margaret Brennan yesterday on Face the Nation. But it seemed to me like that's the moment when you actually play the clip from Obama where he promised that things would change if Assad crossed the red line of using chemical weapons against his own people. This is back from 2012 in August.
We have communicated in no uncertain terms with every player in the region that that's a red line for us and that there would be enormous consequences if we start seeing movement on the chemical weapons front or the use of chemical weapons. That would change my calculations. Significantly.
Enormous consequences change my calculations significantly. It's a little hard to remember the history because it's been, you know, 13 years since we were living this and thinking through this. But what happened is the Arab Spring, remember, with the vendor lighting himself on fire and lighting off this wave of protests across northern Africa and the Middle East and, you know, regimes falling like dominoes. You had the Tunisian ruler was deposed in 2011, Muammar Gaddafi, you know, was removed in 2011. Ali Abdullah Saleh was removed in 2012 out of Yemen. And then in 2012, some of the, you know, regimes decided to warn their people and to take action. And Assad was the response was, let's just kill our own people. And not just kill them, but let's, you know, consider the use of chemical weapons against our own people. So Obama issues this warning in 2012 and says, don't cross the red line of using chemical weapons. And then we had Benghazi in September. That was the month, the next month. Remember Benghazi? And remember how they lied about Benghazi in order to get past the election? Remember how Susan Rice goes on all five of the shows and lies her tail off about Benghazi? And eventually the truth of that comes out, but it was after the election, so it was too late to do anything about it. So Obama gets reelected in 2012. And in 2013, in August of 2013, 1 year after the red line speech, Assad gasses his own people and kills a couple thousand of them with sarin gas. That's one of the really bad ones, okay? And you say, okay, so then what? Well, then you had the Crimean invasion by Russia the next year in February of 2014. So Obama gives a red line speech, gets reelected by lying about Benghazi, and then after the Arab Spring has kind of simmered a little bit, has kind of come and gone a little bit, and then the next year Assad gasses his own people and Obama does nothing. He doesn't fulfill his promise. They were ready to go, and they didn't do anything militarily. And then Russia saw that and thought, oh, we've always wanted Crimea. Let's conduct our second major take of land. You know, Georgia was the first one under Bush, okay? So Obama did nothing when Russia took Crimea, the first Ukrainian invasion under Obama. And then, you know, Trump takes office, and nobody does nothing. Shh, quiet, wait. And then Biden takes office. Oh, look. A giant invasion of Ukraine, a massive terrorist attack against the south of Israel, the trouble with the Houthis in Yemen, the Hezbollah attacking Israel from the north out of Lebanon, and then right? I mean, we've had these things going on, you know, China rattling their sword about Taiwan, although just kind of waiting and watching and gaining influence. We talked a lot about that last week. Also worth noting, and I think it's, I mean, I was just amazed last night watching the Biden speech. Biden taking credit for the fall of Assad. Bro. I mean, to be fair, okay, you always got to recognize truth when it's true. You know, it's not that they've done nothing. It's not that they didn't have anything. But, you know, our sanctions. Well, you know, I don't know. Syria is getting all of their money from China, supplying their oil to them. Did it really work, our sanctions? You know, like, did we really manage to pull it out? No, what happened is all of their allies, all of their prop-up support, like from Russia and Iran and Hezbollah, have all evaporated as a result of Russia doing so poorly in Ukraine, can't help Syria anymore. Hezbollah getting so badly beaten by Israel that they've had to call a truce and now back off in Lebanon. Iran suffering defeat all over the place through its proxies, but not directly against itself, so it can't do as much to help Syria. So Syria doesn't have the support. Bashar al-Assad doesn't have the support. So the rebel groups were able to finally win. Now, is that because of great foreign policy by Biden? Or is that because of absolute weakness by Obama first and then Biden? Because if you don't think weakness is the cause of all of this, go back to 2009. Do you remember 2009 when Obama takes office and we're going to usher in a whole new era of doing everything the nice way, the right way, the better, happier, progressive way of can't we all just get along and play well together? And Obama's answer for Russia, and remember he mocked Romney? He mocks, I was thinking about which election it was. Mocks Romney for talking about the Soviet Union. Right? Mocks him for talking about the Soviet Union. Turns out that wasn't such a dumb thing to say after all. You know, the Cold War called. They want their foreign policy back. You remember that line from Obama? Okay, so Obama's first thing he does in office is he sends Hillary Clinton, the new Secretary of State, over to Russia to make good, to make friends, to become buddies. And he sends her with a gift. The Russian reset button. We'll come back to that in just a sec, because it's good to remember some of this history, right? John Pickens has got traffic on the files. John?
All right. No accidents to let you know about. Still dealing with the closed railroads on Kim Strand. Let's see here. 10 Mile and East Kingsfield Road. Old Palafox and East 10 Mile Road. So just be aware of those and plan around and round it. Hopefully they will be open soon. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. So back to Obama in 2009, having, you know, just defeated, right, McCain and Palin, and he's in office. He sends Hillary Clinton, the great ambassador of goodwill, over to Russia to meet with Sergei Lavrov, the Russian foreign Ministry of Defense. And Ministry of Defense? That's not right. Russian foreign minister. Anyway, with what can only be described as a gift box. And inside the gift box is what you would think of as, you know, those gaming consoles that you get that have like Pac-Man and all the old video games on one little kind of 5x5-inch joystick that you play. It was basically like that, except instead of the joystick, it had a big red button in the middle. Now, you might think that, you know, sending big red buttons to a foreign nuclear power maybe isn't the best symbol, but nevertheless, sends her over there and she's happy times explaining the Russian reset, the reset of our relationship with Russia.
Sergey, in anticipation of this important meeting and our time here together, I wanted to present you with a little gift, which represents what President Obama and Vice President Biden and I have been saying, and that is, we want to reset our relationship.
And let's do it together.
So we will do it together, okay?
Foreign policy by prop.
I thought you were just joking with me.
Oh, no, this is a real thing that actually took place March 6th of 2009. She goes with a video game controller joystick, only it's the button instead of the joystick. Let us press this button together and reset the relationship between Russia and the United States. This and by the way, the follow-up is worse. This is Sergei Lavrov talking about, there's an inscription written on the thing.
Right.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. We worked hard to get the right Russian word. Do you think we got it?
You got it wrong.
I got it wrong.
It should be перезагрузка. And this says перегрузка, which means overcharge.
Well, we won't let you do that to us, I promise.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Very kind of you. Would be on my desk.
Who didn't do their homework?
We mean it, and we look forward to it.
Who didn't do their homework?
They put the wrong Russian word on the idiot button. I mean, the reset button. You know, we knew it at the time. Oh, my God. Putin has got to be licking his chops. What can I take first? And sure enough, he subsequently takes. I mean, then Arab Spring comes in 2 years, okay? And then we fail to follow through on the red line. Obama fails to follow through on the red line in Syria. They use chemical weapons against their own people. And the following spring, Russia takes Crimea. Ukraine won. I mean, Ukraine, the number one. Okay? And we do nothing. And Russia thinks, good. Reset accomplished. Coming soon for all of Ukraine, which is exactly what they try. It's just, it's... just... Where do you even start? And then Biden goes on TV last night and he talks about how, you know, this is going to be great. Well, he does. I will give him credit. He says there's a lot of uncertainty.
As I've said, this is a moment of considerable risk and uncertainty. But I also believe this is the best opportunity in generations for Syrians to forge their own future, free of opposition. It's also an opportunity. Through far from certain, for a more secure and prosperous Middle East, where our friends are safe, where enemies are contained. And it would be a waste of this historic opportunity if one tyrant were toppled and only to see a new one rise up in its place.
Amen. He's right. Bashar al-Assad is an extremely evil man. Extremely. I mean, every, you know, Gaddafi, Mubarak... think about like, I mean, he's Hitler in the Middle East. Okay. He's Mussolini. He's Tojo. Any of these, you know, brutal, horrible, terrible dictators. Pick it. It doesn't matter. Saddam Hussein. It doesn't matter. They're all cut from the same cloth. Okay. It's order in the country through repression, torture, disgusting things being done against their own people for 24 years, and then his dad before him. So this is a good thing. Of course, now what? We got a head of a terror organization is arguably the leader of the replacements. Now they're acting like they're going to have a peaceful transition of power. We'll see. Will they get along enough to form a government? We'll see. Is it going to go from being the Shia puppet of Iran government in Syria into becoming... you know, the Al-Qaeda-esque caliphate or something in Syria? We don't know, but that's what we're worried about. Time will tell. But it's amazing to me to watch the president pretend this is victory lap time for him and the legacy of President Obama. Absolutely amazing. 623 here on News Radio 92.3. Unless your whole strategy all along was, let's be weak, let's not follow through on our promises, let's make all of our allies get nervous, and then let's invite aggression, which will allow our allies to beat them and turn out and show that they're all paper tigers and that they don't have the strength that we thought they had. Unless that was your plan all along. I mean, great plan. How likely was that the plan? 623 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Are you ready to experience healthcare that truly cares? At VIP Care, they're not just your primary care provider. They're your healthcare partner, specializing in primary care for adults 65 and older. VIP Care's compassionate doctors focus on prevention, creating personalized care plans to keep you healthy and active. With 4 convenient clinics in Pensacola, same-day appointments, and a dedicated on-call provider available 24/7, VIP Care makes healthcare easy and accessible. Visit getvipcare.com to find a clinic near you.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
Join Don from Ashna Navant Health 65 Plus Thursday at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel, where she is sharing information on the Ashna Navant Health 65 Plus care model for seniors and how this is different from a primary care visit. Tune in to call in or text your questions for Don to 850-437-1620.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Hi, this is David Wayne, and I just want to wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
From all of us to all of you, Merry Christmas.
Are you messing with me right now?
It's me, Dale. You're good.
I know.
The voice of an angel, and called the songbird of his generation. 625 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, man, I could do a little more Jane's Addiction. That's fine. All right, John Pickens got traffic on the fives this morning. John?
Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. Still dealing with the railroad crossings that are closed right now, Old Palafox and East 10 Mile Road. Also, we're seeing one at Kingsfield Road and also Kimstrand Road. So just be aware of that because hopefully they'll get them out of the way, but we will let you know. So plan around that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you need electrical work, air conditioning, heating, or plumbing done, Peden, they'll take care of all of that, kind of the more complicated mechanical things that are going on inside of your house. That's what they handle, all of that stuff. It all kind of makes sense to do that all, and they have been for 55 years all along the Gulf Coast, from Panama City to Pensacola, from Tallahassee all the way to Mobile, including Baldwin County last year, Mobile just this year. Good quality products installed professionally right the first time. People show up on time, do what they're supposed to do, and then stand by the work with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. And right now, through the month of December, you can save $2,024 on in-stock air conditioning systems because it's the end of the year. Remember, in August, it was $1,000. And I'm sure a lot of them sold. But the ones that are left, AC systems, and by the way, and generators. So in-stock generators or ACs, $2,000 off, $2,024 because it's the end of the year. So they will take good care of you. Peden, P-E-A-D-E-N. .com. 627 on News Radio 92.3. A couple of quick notes. People sending in some good texts here. Somebody says, stop it with all this history. Those are grown-ups with that reset button. Are they? Lavrov is. And thanks for going back over that little bit of history. I remember all of what you're talking about very well, but it happened, you know, unfortunately, most people forgot it 10 minutes after it happened if they were paying attention to begin with. Somebody else said, the Russian mistranslation makes you miss having someone at the top of an administration like Condi Rice, fluent Russian speaker. Agreed. Somebody else says, where was it? It was kind of a long text here. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to read it all, but the gist of it was that one of the things we don't often think about with these Middle East dictators is that under the dictators, at least there was order and often also protection of the rights of minorities. Now, not political enemies, but, you know, for example, like Christians in Egypt, okay, often got, you know, were protected under Mubarak, or at least generally so. And it's one of these weird tensions that, yes, the strong man in the Middle East has historically been horribly repressive to their people, and yet also many times, you know, protecting the rights of some of the people that we want to see protected, managing to make it work. Kind of a, when the people are terrible and when the people don't have good, decent values and don't understand democracy and can't handle freedom, it takes a strong man to rule them, is kind of the old argument. Like, it takes a dictator type to corral the bad people, so to speak, or the, you know, low grade virtue people. And that works. And then when you get rid of the dictator, so like Saddam Hussein, or like, you know, Gaddafi, then what happens? Chaos ensues because there's nobody strong enough to control anymore. And it's just every man for himself. And that's a long simmering foreign policy debate within, you know, political discussions. And, you know, there is not a clear answer on whether that's right or wrong, other than, how can violating human rights be the thing that we stand on the side of? Well, historically, we've done it, whether it's in Cuba or in Africa or in the Middle East or in Southeast Asia. You know, our dictator's better than the chaos or the enemy's dictator's kind of been the view. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the international community is reacting to the fall of Syria's government. Former UK Middle East Minister Alastair Burt says it's a big moment for the people of Syria.
The Syrian citizens who have had 13 years of civil war with terrible tales of imprisonment, violence, no opportunity to express their views. It means the world to them.
And of course, President Biden says the U.S. is going to have to be vigilant against threats that arise from that power vacuum. Jurors in the deadly subway chokehold trial of Daniel Penny in New York will be resuming deliberations this morning. The jury only has the charge of criminally negligent homicide left to consider after Judge Maxwell Wiley dismissed the top charge of manslaughter on Friday. And college enrollment is reportedly down about 5% among 18-year-olds for the fall semester, according to the National Student Clearinghouse Research Center. The decline is higher in both public and private schools.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. We're starting a series coming up in just a minute. I did a sit-down interview with Dr. David Josephs from the Lakeview Center, talking about what is mental health, what does Lakeview do, and really my own questions trying to wrap my brain around this field a little bit. Coming up next.
News. I'm Chris Foster. Statues and posters of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad are being torn down now that he and his family have fled to Russia, his government overthrown by rebels. U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin says it's surprising how little resistance those rebels got.
There's a potential that elements in the area, such as ISIS, could try to take advantage of this this opportunity.
Israeli troops have taken control of a buffer zone on the Syrian side of the border and launched airstrikes at suspected weapons sites. Multiple reports say baseball superstar Juan Soto is going to the New York Mets.
Juan Soto agreed to sign the richest contract in major professional sports history. The 26-year-old four-time All-Star will sign a 15-year contract with the Mets, worth a reported $765 million.
Fox's Jared Mack. Soto was a New York Yankee last season. He's been a star since making the big leagues at age 19. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. It is 72 degrees this morning with cloudy skies in Pensacola. Well, thousands of race fans were in Pensacola over the weekend for the 57th annual Snowball Derby. The winner this year was Texas driver Caden Honeycutt. He outraced 35 other drivers, including NASCAR and super late model racing stars. Second place was won by Steven Nass. Third place by reigning NASCAR Truck Series champion Ty Majeski. Honeycutt and Majeski battled back and forth for the lead throughout Sunday's Snowball Derby main event race. Honeycutt takes home a $50,000 payday for the win. Track officials said last week the Snowball Derby has a $10 million economic impact each year. Well, the qualifying deadline has passed. It's going to be a crowded field for the District 1 congressional seat. 10 Republicans, including Florida's Chief Financial Officer Jimmy Patronis, State Representative Joel Rudman, former Escambia County Commissioner Gene Valentino, Aaron Dimmock, and a handful of other Republicans have qualified. Four write-in candidates have qualified. The only Democrat to qualify for the race is Gay Valamont. Republican candidates will be in Navarre today for an event featuring campaign speeches, debates, and town hall style interaction with voters. That's happening at the Grill House on 98. It begins at 11 a.m. It's free and it's open to the public. Well, now that you've got your Black Friday and Cyber Monday deals, time to get the gifts wrapped and out the door. If you have them to send out to other states, be prepared to pay a little bit more. Shipping prices are higher than ever this year, and it is important not to wait too long. There are some shipping deadlines to make sure your gifts arrive by Christmas Eve. December 13th would be the deadline to ship using FedEx Ground Economy. The 18th would be the cutoff for USPS Ground Advantage. 19th is the last day for USPS Priority Mail. December 19th would also be the last day for UPS 3-Day Select, and for UPS Ground, you'd need to check with UPS. Laura Trump is stepping down as the co-chair of the Republican National Committee. Reports are she's being considered to replace Senator Marco Rubio, who's been tapped to be President-elect Donald Trump's Secretary of State. Rubio's term ends in 2026. Governor DeSantis has said that he aims to have a replacement announced by early next month.
Camping World Stadium in Orlando is going to be hosting three upcoming bowl games to cap off the 2024 college football season on December 20th. The Cure Bowl featuring MAC champion Ohio University versus Conference USA champs Jackson State. The 2024 Pop-Tart Bowl is being held December 28th. That'll have 18th ranked Iowa State versus the 13th ranked Miami Hurricanes. And then on New Year's Eve, it'll be the 2024 Citrus Bowl. That'll have 20th ranked Illinois and 15th ranked South Carolina. It is 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. I need to let you know about some railroad crossings that are closed right now. East 10 Mile Road, Kingsfield Road, and Old Kim Strand. Those three are still closed at this moment, so you definitely want to plan around that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We do have a 90% chance of the rain as we go throughout your day today. High near 70 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 66. On Tuesday, high rain chances again, 90% with a high near 70 degrees. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 47 degrees. Cooling off on Wednesday with a 10% chance of some showers, high near 54 and a low near 40. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, cloudy. It is 71 in Pensacola, 69. In Gulf Breeze, 64 reported in Milton. Our next news at 7 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Breaking news, NVIDIA shares are under pressure and have dropped in pre-market trading after a Chinese regulator said it was investigating the chipmaker over possible violations to the country's anti-monopoly law. The 10-year Treasury yield edged higher as investors continue to assess how the latest jobs data could impact the Federal Reserve's interest rate decision next week. The yield on the 10-year Treasury rose around 1 basis point to 4.17%, regaining some ground after losing steam last week. President-elect Donald Trump said he will not try to replace Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell, whose term runs through May of 2026. Trump confirmed the news during an interview on NBC's Meet the Press. Futures are currently mixed. Friday, the Dow Industrials lost 123, the NASDAQ up 159, and the S&P 500 up 15. Once again, futures are mixed. On Friday, the Dow Industrials lost 123. That's your money now.
My son loves to fly kites, but my active psoriatic arthritis can sometimes hold me back. Now with Skyrizi to treat my skin and joints, I'm ready to go. Skyrizi, risankizumab riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults, helps with less joint pain, stiffness, swelling, and fatigue. For those who also have plaque psoriasis, 90% clearer skin is possible with just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With Skyrizi, there's nothing like clearer skin and better movement, and that means everything. Ask your doctor about Skyrizi today and visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Open enrollment for health insurance starts November 1st. This year, enroll in a Florida Blue plan and get exclusive support from an approved Florida Blue agent.
Hi, I'm Chad Piku with Affiliated Insurance. I want to help you find a health plan that's right for you and meet your needs, not mine. Make enrollment hassle-free this year. Call 850-477-5840 and schedule an appointment with your local Florida Blue agent today.
Policies have limitations. Health insurance from Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Florida, Inc., DBA, Florida Blue.
Fall is a great time of the year for gardening. Whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs, cool weather color, and of course, winter vegetables. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got gardening questions, we've got the answers on the News Radio Garden Line. Every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Barnes Feed Store.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
Hi, this is David Wayne, morning news anchor here on News Radio 92.3, and this is going to be a very special Christmas for me, because I'll be spending it for the first time with my 10-month-old daughter, Caitlin. And from me and my family to you and yours, I just want to wish you a very, very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
Merry Christmas. News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 640 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good choice of music, John. I appreciate that. I sat down with Dr. David Josephs, the head of Lakeview Center, the other day, and had a long conversation, like over an hour conversation with him about what is mental health and what does Lakeview do? Because I didn't feel like I knew, and I wanted to talk about that and learn. So the first part we're going to play today is what is Lakeview. The subsequent days we do this at this time is going to be a long, wide-ranging conversation that we had about what is mental health. Really interesting, especially as we come up toward the holidays. Anyway, without any further ado, here's the conversation I had with him about what Lakeview does.
How people think about mental health often is initially at the crisis level. So if somebody picks me up because my wife decides I'm not as well as I usually am, they're thinking the emergency level, which is our central receiving facility, our CSU, or addiction receiving. From there, if you are in crisis, you can go to any number of levels of care. You can go, you can stay in the acute care unit for a while, and then we have another component with the acute stuff, which is a little bit longer term inpatient, which is the SRT, which is about a month to as much as 6 months.
What is SRT?
Short-term residential treatment.
Okay.
I'll walk you through these so you'll get a sense of them. But the name is not actually very telling because it's not a residential program. It's actually an inpatient program.
Okay.
Okay. And then from there, if a person has real serious mental illness, they can go to a residential program, which is not locked, not a hospital, which is what we call our lodges.
That's what's across the street.
That's what's across the street.
Okay.
And then from there, back out into the community. So that people think of our mental health, when people think of Lakeview Center, since a lot of folks haven't been involved in services, they actually think of, well, that's where the crazy people go, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when they say crazy people, they're thinking people in crisis.
Mm-hmm.
But the vast majority of services we provide are not for people in crisis, as you might like any other health care.
So it's all oriented around mental health.
Correct.
You'd have the analog of the emergency room.
Correct.
Would be like your crisis, your central receiving facility. Baker Acts.
Baker Acts.
Or candidate for Baker Acts.
And yeah. Marchman Acts.
Oh, what's that?
The Marchman Act is Florida's addiction law. So drugs and alcohol. And you are a danger to yourself, danger to others or others because of your drug use, then you can be placed onto the Marchman
Act. And that's different from the Baker Act.
That's different from the Baker Act.
How so?
Well,
is that something that the police decide, something that you decide?
It's whether you do a Baker Act or a Marchman Act is...
How do you spell it? M-A-R-C-H?
M-A-R-C-H-M-A-N.
Marchman. Okay.
Is whether the view is that you... And yes, law enforcement, a professional, or family members can make the decision.
Okay.
And it really is a difference. Do you think the stuff that's going on that's a danger to them or others is really more due to drugs? In our community... And as you know, across the country, the biggest deal is fentanyl, right? So if you've Narcan your mother, sister, father, brother twice, then you kind of know there's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So I can Marchman Act my brother
and
have him involuntarily brought in, or I can do a petition to get before a judge.
Mm. I didn't know there was such a thing. So
yeah, it's for our community and really the country, the co-occurring stuff. And I'll walk you around.
Does that predate? Is the Marchman Act older than the Baker Act or co-terminal?
The Marchman Act and the Baker Act has evolved over the years.
Okay.
So they both have existed for a while. The Baker Act got redone in like 1971 by Maxine Baker, who's a representative back then. And it was really more of a client's rights thing mm-hmm. back then, because before that, mental health law was 150 years old, and most people went to the state hospitals.
Mm-hmm. And so you got committed, and you did not have rights. And
a judge or a police officer thought that you needed to be admitted, and you were committed not to short term care,
right,
but to the state hospital system, right?
Yeah.
And so the drug laws, there were drug laws back then, but interestingly, there was an alcohol law, there was a drug law, other substance law, and then it kind of, the substance laws got combined.
Okay. Which makes sense. I mean, yeah.
And do you know who Representative Maney is?
I know the name, Judge Maney, yeah.
Judge Maney. He toured here, what was it?
A week or two,
nice guy. He's been a county judge, as you know, for a while. He's been a big part in some of the changes in the Marchman Act and the Baker Act.
Okay.
And the biggest deal that the legislature is doing kind of with some of our kind of suggestions is bringing them more into alignment.
Mm.
I don't know what friends, family you've had, but most of us have had people who've either used drugs or have had stuff.
Mm.
And most folks who have psychiatric issues also use substances. So to your
question, overlap, right?
So to your question, how do you tell the difference,
mm-hmm.
right?
So, okay, so there's the central receiving facility for Marchman and Baker Act.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the ER or intensive care, whatever.
Emergency,
yeah, okay. Then you have, I'm thinking hospital terms, for the body, but you would have people who are, needing to be inpatient serviced because they need intensive oversight. Then you would have what I think of as more of like an assisted living kind of environment for people who need not 24-hour supervision and they're not in dire need, but they do need help, and that would be like the cottages.
Yes, the one difference between an assisted living and the lodges is it's intended and designed to be therapeutic and treatment, meaning it's not where you live forever.
Oh, it's meant to be rehabilitative.
It's meant to be rehabilitative to get you out of that, back to the community.
As opposed to end-of-life care where it's progressive.
Where it's progressive and you just stay there the rest of your life.
And then what's the fourth one? Pure outpatient?
Well, we have outpatient, and then the phrase we use is community-based care. So I think of those as the programs where people are going, our clinicians are going out to people's homes, some are going to schools or...
Case management.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to pause there. The voice you hear there is Kelsey Gulick at Lakeview. If you're just tuning in, this is Dr. David Josephs, the head of Lakeview, and I sat down the other day and talked about what Lakeview does and also mental health and even learned like the Marchman Act, which you had not known about, right, John?
Yeah, I had no clue what that was.
That's the point. You learn stuff by talking to people. Tell them about traffic on the fives. We'll get right back to the interview.
All right, no accidents to let you know about, but we're seeing the railroad crossings closed at East 10 Mile Road, Kingsfield Road, and Old Chemstrand. Those crossings are closed. Hopefully they'll open back up, but we'll let you know. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks, John. Back to the interview with Dr. David Josephs from Lakeview.
Right. Community-based care, and people can actually end up in any of the levels of care mm-hmm. and still have the community-based care. We have, and most of the country have what are called ACT teams, which
ACT?
ACT, mm-hmm. Assertive Community Teams. Ours is called FACT, mm-hmm. Florida Assertive And it really is kind of like a hospital without walls. So it's kind of like having your own psychiatrist, your own nurse, your own case manager, all wrapped into one
mm-hmm.
for a finite group of people.
Okay.
And that those people are usually the most seriously mentally ill, people with schizophrenia, people with bipolar disorder, severe depression, who need a fair amount of supervision and support.
Okay. Some of whom would live here, some of whom would be out in the community.
The majority are out in the community, okay. The vast majority, but every so often somebody might be in one of our residential programs.
So is Lakeview, it's a nonprofit, it's owned by a healthcare group, it's an estate agency, it's purely private, like what is Lakeview? Because it used to be a subordinate to Baptist, right?
Our mother and Kelsey, our mothership is now LifeView Group.
Okay. Right? Which is a part of Baptist or is it separate? Okay.
Yeah, so
and that's in the last, what, year or two, right?
20, two or three years.
Okay.
21, yes. Right?
So, I believe so.
21.
Yes. Kind of a spin-off entity,
We describe LifeView Group as a nonprofit family of companies.
Okay.
So LifeView Center... From a PR perspective, that's what I spend most of my time on as Lakeview Center. But we also have Families First Network, which is child welfare.
Okay.
And GCE is Global Connections to Employment. So they're actually in 14 states. But as an example, NAS Pensacola, they do food service and custodial work. So a lot of government contracts, and the focus is jobs for people with disabilities.
Okay, so an employment arm that since you... are helping people with as much help as they need to manage their lives properly who have either addiction or mental health issues, helping them have employment would be a key part of their process, whether rehabilitative or just maintaining. And so helping them have jobs makes sense to have you involved in that, which provides these alternatives. Okay.
Correct.
You captured it quickly.
and kind of your frame of, you know, how are we like a hospital? It's, you know, we were affiliated with Baptist. When I first came to Lakeview in 95, we were not affiliated with Baptist.
Okay.
Then we became affiliated in 96. We had that relationship till 2001, which was and is still a good relationship. But I think where we're divergent from hospital-based systems are almost by definition point-in-time systems.
Okay.
Right? I do a service, I get you. We are a continuum of care service.
Okay.
Right?
But now you're not the local continuum of care agency, right?
We're not.
That's opening doors, right?
That's opening doors.
Okay.
I actually happen to be the president of both.
Before
opening doors.
Okay. I thought John Johnson was not. I thought he was. He's
so
no longer.
John Johnson was the executive director. I'm president of the board.
Okay. I got you. Okay.
It's a completely different. That is housing, managing of federal monies coming to a community.
Is the continuum of care.
Is a continuum.
As an entity.
Okay. And that continuum of care includes many providers in the community, including hospitals, mental health agencies, not-for-profit.
Food banks, shelters.
All kinds of individuals.
Okay.
I'm sure there are radio hosts who are members of the continuum of care.
Okay, well, that's helpful. I mean, I have a much better concept of, you know, what you do, which is great. Yeah. So.
Unknown caller.
Always good.
I give my cell number out to a lot of people.
Yeah. If you need to take it, go ahead. It doesn't bother me. I'll leave if you need to.
They'll leave a message and I'll go back. So long it's not the roofer. I just left the roofer before I came back in. But he's not. I have him and I'm getting a new roof. So I was meeting with him this morning.
Lucky you.
So what? How many people are you engaged with and at, you know, at what levels, like the four different kind of levels that you operate at?
If we do Lakeview Center, which is the mental health piece by itself, Lakeview Center.
Not the Families First, not the Jobs.
First, okay. By itself serves about 26,000 people every year.
Really?
So if you add...
In Escambia only or Santa Rosa also? Escambia to Walton.
We do.
Okay, so four county area. Is it carved up into the same kind of District 1, District 2, like other state things, or not quite?
Well, the services vary from county to county. Escambia and Santa Rosa have most of the services.
Okay.
Okay. In Walton County, we also have an array of services similar. In Okaloosa County, most of our services are mobile response services. You call up, you have a crisis, the clinician goes out to your house.
And okay. So no physical?
We have an office.
We have an office.
But not a facility?
Not a facility.
Okay.
No residence.
In Santa Rosa also, no facility, right? Or is there?
We have an outpatient office, but no residential.
Okay. So more convenient for people to come see you, but yeah. They don't stay there.
Yes.
Okay.
And we do a lot of telemed stuff.
Does the receiving facility handles only these two counties, or is it also Okaloosa and Walton?
The receiving facility, the central receiving facility, is Escambia and Santa Rosa counties.
Okay, that's what I thought, but I wasn't sure. Yeah. So,
however, if somebody drives from Tallahassee and has an issue in Pensacola,
and they're here, sure, that makes sense. Just like where the hospital closest to you is, where you go, right?
Yes,
so. So 26,000 out of a population of four counties, 700,000 or 800,000, I think, roughly something like. I mean, that's still a lot of people.
Yeah.
We were just talking about this. I would have brought our annual report, but this year it's a year old. So I'm working on our new one, and when we were talking through it last week, it worked out to be about, so every day of the year, we have about 50 new people calling Lakeview Center, needing some sort of, and that could be crisis, that could be doctor's appointment, pharmacy, any of those things. So when you think about 50 new people coming into care every single day, that helps me wrap my head around the scope of services.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to say this exactly, there are also private psychiatrists and psychologists who operate in this area that are not affiliated with you, right?
Correct.
But are you work through insurance, you work through Medicaid, you work through indigent care, all of the above?
All of the above.
Okay, because I think my perception has always been that Lakeview was, indigent care, people don't have insurance, it was a safety net system rather than, for example, the place that, if Andrew McKay had some psychiatric issue, would I call Lakeview or would I just call a doctor and say, hey, I'd like to schedule an appointment. I need to do some therapy.
Well, it depends. It depends on what you got in terms of whether you call here. We have everything that the private providers have.
Okay.
Right. So if you have private insurance, Blue Cross Blue Shield, and you want treatment, you can call us.
But they don't have the cottages or the receiving facility or the inpatient. They only have in-office visit, right?
Correct.
Purely outpatient, and not even probably community care either, right?
And not the continuum. And recently with Homebase, which I think you've heard of.
I have. Mm-hmm. Okay. We did an interview with that recently.
Is also, specialty populations. And the big thing with Homebase is evidence-based treatment. And how do you know you're getting better?
Mm-hmm.
So the military for a long, long time has struggled with the VA and quality care,
mm-hmm.
right? And the VA is a good partner for us. But part of the Homebase is really that it's a disciplined, almost manualized way of doing behavioral health treatment so that you know you're doing it to, for lack of a better word, fidelity.
Okay.
And so we have a number of programs that we do like that.
All right, so that's the What Lakeview Is part. Over the next couple of days, we're going to have the conversation about what is mental illness. And it was a very interesting, wide-ranging conversation. That was, again, Dr. David Joseph from Lakeview Center. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
No accidents to let you know about, but if you're at the Kingsfield, Old Kim Strand, or East 10 Mile Road, Railroad crossings are closed, so just be aware of that. Hopefully they'll reopen them, but I want you to be prepared if they don't. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Deck your halls with windows and doors from New South. We keep your home comfy and cozy and can save you hundreds a year on energy bills. Plus, every product we make and install is guaranteed for life. It's another reason to be jolly all year long. Now, through December 31st, you have one more reason to celebrate. Buy two New South windows and doors and get one free. Visit newsouthwindow.com/radio to get a quote.
Pensacola Little Theater is thrilled to bring to you the timeless tale of A Christmas Story, December 12th through the 22nd. Join us as we follow young Ralphie Park's heartwarming and adventurous quest for a Red Ryder BB gun in 1940s Indiana. Against the backdrop of the holiday season, Ralphie faces the classic childhood challenges of bullies and family dynamics, all while holding on to his Christmas wish. Secure your tickets for this highly anticipated show either online at PensacolaLittleTheater.com or by visiting the PLT box office.
Trump's victory doesn't mean our financial worries are over.
6:59 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Let's get a real quick headline in here before the end of the hour from David Wayne in the newsroom. David?
Well, the former commander of U.S. Central Command says U.S. troops stationed in Syria may be in less danger after the fall of President Bashar al-Assad's regime. Retired Marine Corps General Frank McKenzie told ABC that there may be fewer threats to troops. And the presence of those troops, he says, is still important to the fight against terror in the region.